first few sugyas that we've been discussing have been predicated on the assumption that there's a difference between a nida derais and a nida derabanan. A woman only becomes a nida derais if she has a hargosha. Whatever hargosha means is somewhat questionable. What it means bisman hazeh is even more questionable. But clearly there is a concept of hargosha, re'iyah, what's called a nida min haTorah. Sometimes you have a situation where a woman is only a nida derabanan if she only experiences a kesem. And whenever we're dealing with hukos k'samim, so we have many, many leniencies in hukos k'samim. Again, since they're only midrabanan, so if we can assume the kesem may have come from somewhere else, or the kesem is too small, or it's an inmakabal tumma, tzavua, all the details of hukos k'samim that we spent the last couple of weeks talking about. But now we get to the, in a sense, the interplay between a ri'iyah d'araisa in contrast to kesem in the following situation. Is there ever a case where a woman experiences what seems to be a kesem? It's not a tremendous amount of blood. There doesn't seem to be any hargosha that we know of, at least that we can point our finger to. Is there any reason to believe that we're not dealing with a nida derabanan? Is there any situation that arises that a kesem is found, and yet we still have to be nervous that there may be some kind of a shal of a nida derais over here? So this is a very important shal of maisa. The shalas really do come up. And really there is a machlekes and rishonim how to read pshat in a gemara at the end of Maseches Nida. Some may have seen another marmakomos, daftun zayin. There is a big machlekes and rishonim how to read the following sugya. The gemara discusses about the possibility of a woman seeing dam and seeing what appears at first glance to be only a kesem, and she can't really tell us for certainty that there was a hagosh. Again, let's put ourselves back in the days of Chazal when hagosh really were able to identify precisely what hagosh was. But the kesem was found in the context of something that may have masked the hargosha. It means the kesem was found immediately following a certain activity that the woman was involved in that leads us to believe that there may have been a hargosha, even though she can't really identify it. She doesn't really, can't really feel it, but something else may have been happening that may have masked it. What other activities could have been happening that masked it? So the Gemara explains to us that there are certain activities that are involved in oisa mokom, anything that's involved. Anytime there's any kind of a pressure in that area, any kind of other things going on in that area, so she may have had hargosha. So the Gemara identifies three different activities that may have potentially masked hargosha. One is shas tashmish, if the couple were having relations, and then immediately at that time, we'll see exactly what that means immediately in a moment, but in the context of having relations, there was dam. So maybe we have to be concerned that even though it looks just like a kesem, it looks like a very small amount, she doesn't remember any hargosha taking place, so dilma argosha v'levadaita, maybe the sensations of tashmish may have masked, may have covered up the potential hargosha, and maybe we really do have a nita derais in our hands. So that's one possibility the Gemara discusses. Then the Gemara discusses the possibility of meraglayim, that she was going to the bathroom, she was urinating at that time, and then soon afterwards, or at the same time, again, we'll see what the details of this are as we go on. There was also she found dam. So our initial reaction is it's a kesem, it's dirabanan. So we're ready for all the kulas. It's less than a gris. Then it's a tzavu and then a mechavel tuma. We're ready to roll for the last few weeks. Then we say, wait a second, not so simple. Duma agishav levadaita. Maybe what she felt a little bit of a sensation. She felt the sensation of going to the bathroom. Maybe that sensation was masking a potential hargosha. And the third one that the Gemara speaks about is if she's checking herself at that time, she's doing a bedik. She's inserting an age, she's inserting a bedika cloth into that area at the time, and there's dam that shows up around that time, either on the bedika cloth or soon afterwards, whatever the case may be. So maybe also, even though she doesn't really have any hargoshas that she can identify, so the common theme, the common denominator of these three activities is that they all involve that area of the woman's body. They all are some kind of a pressure sensation or something which may potentially have covered up, may potentially be hiding a hargosha. So even though it looks just like it's only a kesem, maybe we have no right to apply any kulas of hilchos k'samim. So we have to now analyze the shaila, because this is going to become very relevant. We have many, many shailas that come up with these in these three different contexts. So let's analyze this. Is there really such a chashash? And if so, what are the parameters of this chashash? So the original case where most of the discussion in the Rishonim revolves around is a woman who finds a kesem in context with tashmish. She's in the middle of having relations or soon right after having relations, and she finds what would otherwise be a kesem. So it's a very small kesem, and it's found on, even if it's more than a gris, but it's found on tzavua, it's found on something that's colored, or it's found on something in a kabbal tuma. It's found in a way that if it was a kesem, we would just ignore it. We'd say she's muteris, tahora, forget about it, you don't have to worry about it. Do we have to be chayshish, duma argasha? Do we have to superimpose this fear? Maybe maybe there was a hagasha here and we're dealing with a deraisa, and if we're dealing with a deraisa, then all the kulas are off. So at the end of the day, there was a machlekes and rishonim had a repshat in the Gemara in Maseches Nida. The Hagos Maimini quotes him as Rebbe from the Maharami Rutenberg. The Maharami Rutenberg was the Rebbe of the Rosh and the Rebbe of the Mordechai, the Rebbe of many of the Gedolei Ashkenaz. The Maharami Rutenberg assumed that a kesem that's found even in the context of Tashmish is no more chomer, is no more serious than any other kesem, and one has a right to be making with all of the chesamim, even though it was found b'shas Tashmish. Doesn't matter that there is no chashash. That which the Gemara raises a possibility that maybe there was a chashash of Hargosha, Lamaisa doesn't really apply. In the end of the day, it's not really true. And therefore, Halach Lamaisa, the Maharam Rutenberg says, that any kesem that's found, Bishas Tashmish is the same as any other kesem. But nevertheless, there are others who disagree with this. The Trumas Hadeshen, who was a little bit later than Maharam Rutenberg, also one of the Gedolei Poskim of Ashkenaz, took the other stand on this shaila, assumed that it would be a problem, that any kesem that's associated immediately with Tashmish is considered to be more problematic and is not subject to the leniencies of Ksamim, and one would have to treat it like a deraisa, so all bets are off. All the clues would be off according to the Trumas Hadeshen. How do we pass in the halacha and the shaila? Depends on who you ask. So many acharonim are machmer on this. Many of the Chavos Das, many Gedolei Poskim of Nida were machmer on the shaila to treat this as a chashash of Hargosha. Not everybody agreed. Let's assume for a moment the worst case scenario. Let's assume the chumra on the shaila. Let's assume that a kesem that's found immediately related to Tashmish is a problematic kesem, and it doesn't matter where it's found, we would have to aser it. We wouldn't have any kulas of Grupachos Begris, and no kulas of Tzivonim, and no kulas of Enim Kabal Tuma. All kulas would be off. Let's take the worst case scenario for a moment. We still have to further analyze this halacha. It is obvious that this chumra or din, whatever you want to call it, the suffix, this chashash of the Trumas Hadeshen, this is obviously only true if the kesem is found in the context of Tashmish. A couple has Tashmish at 11 o'clock at night and she finds the kesem 3 o'clock in the afternoon the next day. So that obviously that's absurd. Obviously there's no correlation between the Tashmish and the kesem. The whole chashash is that maybe the kesem was coming literally b'shas Tashmish and punk at that moment there was some kind of a sensation that she missed. So then obviously this chashash only makes sense if we can really identify, we can really connect, really isolate this finding of the kesem and link it directly to the Shas Tashmish. So how are you going to do that? How? What are the guidelines? What are the possible parameters of doing that? What does Allah have to say about that? When do we say that this supposed kesem is a Tashmish type of a kesem? And when do we say, no, it's too much time has elapsed. It's already a regular kesem with all the coolers. So the problem is you can't find the Gemara that talks about this topic.
You didn't mention the word B'Shas Vesta. It's not near that.
I didn't say Vestas yet.
I
didn't say nothing to do with Vestas yet. Nothing at all to do with Vestas. We're going to get to Vestas.
Maybe that's proof that it's not.
Just because Dam comes from Lubisha's Vest, that's still a problem. It means that women have bleeding all the time, even if it's not necessarily Bisha's Vesta, there's breakthrough bleeding, other kinds of unnatural bleedings. So that in of itself is not going to save her. So we'll talk about it as we go on. Shas Vesta is going to play a role in a certain degree, but not necessarily over here. So where are you going to look for this? How are you going to find the Gemara that discusses this topic about where's the time frame? At what point do you say it's too close to Tashmish? At what point do you say it's too far from Tashmish? So you're not going to find a Gemara that talks about Ksamim, about B'shas Tashmish, because Hefter Rishonim hold there is no such din, there's no such halacha. So obviously there's not going to be any Beferish Gemara. So you have to look all up and down Maseches Nida to find some Gemara that talks about the topic. So there is a Gemara that talks about the topic in a totally different context. The Gemara is discussing the following shaila. The Gemara is discussing a question where a couple had Tashmish, and lo and behold, she starts to bleed b'shas Tashmish. Not that she finds a half a kesem somewhere, a little garnish, a little nothing. She mamish starts to flow, to gush blood, mamish b'shas Tashmish. So now what happens? So it turns out that l'maisa, the couple violated hilchos nida. That's the bottom line, is that they were over the issur of nida. Now obviously they weren't doing it b'mezid, so they're not going to be chayev kareis. But when a person does an aveira b'shogeg, an aveira that one would normally be chayev kareis for, if done intentionally, if one does it unintentionally, one has to bring a korban chatos. So the Gemara has a whole discussion about would this couple have to offer a korban chatos or not. So there are technical issues involved. Maybe the couple is not even a shogeg. Maybe it's an ones. They have no way of knowing. That's beyond the scope right now. That's a vestas type of a shaila. But assuming that the couple was a little bit negligent in what they were doing, there was reason to believe that the woman may become a nida at that time, and they went ahead and did had tashmish anyway. Now we have to ascertain: well, was she really a nida b'shas tashmish at the time of the aveira? At the time of the bia, was it really a bia's isser or not? So the Gemara, the Mishnah, and the Gemara gives a whole list of different criteria. How do you figure this out? How do you determine in whether she was really bleeding bishas tashmish or not. So the Gemara says that there are a few dead giveaways, a few clues, a few ways to say with absolute certainty. Let's say the Gemara says they finish having tashmish and the man finds dam on his aver, he finds dam on his body. So then you don't have to be a great chacham to figure out. Obviously, it was the bishas maisa. So if there was dam on the man's aver, obviously there was dam bishas tashmish. So then the couple is chayev chatos. Then there's no question they did the aver belishim sofek. The Gemara says, let's say he doesn't find dam on his body, but they find dam immediately after they finish tashmish. Mamish says, split second, they finish tashmish. All of a sudden, she looks down, she sees mamish, she's bleeding. So even though they can't say with 1,000,000% certainty that the dam was there b'shas tashmish, maybe it started right after they finished. So the Gemara says, no, that's ridiculous. The Gemara says, if it's so close, it's half a second afterwards, so that's for sure considered to be b'shas tashmish. But what if it's a few seconds later? What if it's a little bit later? So now, we don't really know for certain. So maybe it was the Abishas Tashmish, maybe it wasn't the Abishas Tashmish. So it's a suffix, whether they violated an Issacharis. So what do you do? What does a person have to do if they're not sure whether they violated an Issacharis or not? So then one does not bring a korban chatos, one brings a korban asham toloi. So the halacha is that person eats a piece of meat, and they're not sure whether it was chaylev or not, so and it was b'shogeg. So if they know for a fact that they ate chaylev, they realize an hour later, gaval, what I ate was chaylev, so I'm chayv to bring a korban chatos. If the person realizes an hour later, there's a 50-50 chance I may have eaten chaylev, then the person has to bring an osham tolos. That's what the Mishnah and the Gemara says in Daf Yudal Masechas Nida, that if they know for certain they did the Isser of Nida, how do they know that? Either the dam was on his body, or the dam was found a split second after tashmish, that's 100% certainty it was there b'shas maisa, and therefore they have to bring a korban chatos. If a few seconds have already elapsed, so then they only have to bring a korban asham, an asham talud. And what if more than a few seconds have elapsed, a minute, 2 minutes, whatever the number is, a longer time has elapsed, then the Gemara says they don't have to bring any korban. Then you assume she had a cheskes tahara, it means she was tahor until that point, and now all of a sudden she finds dam half a minute later, so mehechatei said, why should you assume that the dam was there b'shas tashmish, maybe it came afterwards, and there's no need to bring any carbon. So those are the three different shiurim that the Gemara gives. If it's literally b'shas maisa, either found on his body or found a split second later, carbon chatos. If it's a little bit later, then it's a carbon oshem toloi. And if it's a little bit later than that, so then it's perfectly okay. Then you don't have to assume anything. Then there's no correlation between the dam that was found b'shas tashmish, the dam that was found after tashmish, and the mice of tashmish itself. Those are the three different shiurim in the Gemara. The problem is the Gemara, as usual, doesn't give a shiurim in terms of seconds. The Gemara doesn't speak in those terms. The Gemara gives us shiurim to try to identify what these breakdown is. So the Gemara says it depends. If you find the dam in enough time that the woman would have, let's say she has a bedikah cloth in her hand, that it would take her just to go from her hand and to do the bedikah right away, so that's one shiur. And what if she doesn't have the bedikah cloth in her hand, the bedikah cloth is under the pillow, and then she has to go rummage under the pillow to find the bedikah cloth, that's another shiur. The Gemara gives us all these kinds of shiurim, like Chazal give us very often, and then we kind of left them to do that. Okay, so let's time that. Use a stopwatch, figure out how long does that take. We try to put seconds on this, it becomes a lot more difficult. So this is the background of the sugya. This is the Gemara Maseches Nida that discusses these different shiurim. How in the world are we going to look any of this up in Shulchan Aruch? In Shulchan Aruch, we're not going to find any discussion about who's Chayev Chatas and who's Chayev Ashem Toli and who's Potter, because the Shulchan Aruch only wrote a sefer for what's Nogei Lamaisa. So nobody's bringing Korban Chatas anymore. No one's bringing Korban Ashem Tolis anymore. Meri Ban HaMikdash, we'll have this in our new Shulchan Aruch. But right now, how are you going to find this in Shulchan Aruch? So the answer is, there is a sugya that appears in the end of Maseches Nida, we're going to talk about this hopefully later on, where this Gemara comes back to life, and that's as follows. There is a Gemara in the end of Maseches Nida that speaks about a ro adam machos tashmish. Let's say you have a woman who has relations with a husband, and all of a sudden, mamish, in the middle of having tashmish, she starts to bleed. Not a kesem, not a nothing. She mamish starts to bleed. So it happens one time. Okay, never can happen. Okay, she's a sewer, she goes to the mikvah, comes back, finished. Then they go back together again, and all of a sudden, she has tashmish, and boom, boom, again, she starts to bleed again. Mamish b'shas tashmish. And then it happens a third time. So Gemara says, this woman's got a very serious problem. You know what she has a problem of? She has a chazaka now. Every time the couple is together, she's bleeding. So the Gemara says, you know what happens? The halacha is they can't remain married anymore. How are they going to ever be together? This woman is muchzuk b'kach, that every time she's having tashmish, she's bleeding. So that's a disaster. So how can the couple ever have relations again? That's what the Gemara says. So the good news about that sugya is that it never happens. That's the good news. The why does it never happen? It happens. Women taka sometimes bleed b'shas tashmish. But the Gemara says that yesh tamaka tol b'makosa, that this is only true if there's no other source for where the blood's coming from. If there's a reason that we know medically where the blood is coming from, she has a maka, she has some kind of a wound, an injury in that area, that we know for sure that's where the blood is coming from, then this whole halacha doesn't apply. So 99.99999% of the times when these things happen, a woman is very common, women sometimes see dam b'shas tashmish. So the first place we go is we send it to the doctor. The doctor analyzes, takes a look, and will inevitably tell us the cervix is irritated, the cervix is soft, she's got a yeast infection, she's got a yeast infection, another infection, she has something that's causing the bleeding. So good, so that's not the sugya. That's not called raw dam b'shas tashmish. So Baruch Hashem, we're okay. Anytime a woman has any dam b'shas tashmish, so she should immediately call a rav, who should immediately get in contact with the doctor. We don't want this to develop into more of a problem, both medically and halakhically, because if it really happens a few times, we're going to have a big pickle on our hands. So this problem should be addressed and then solved immediately. You should identify that there's a maka there, and then the end of the story. But anyway, getting back to the story. So, but in the absence of such a maka, so the Gemara says there is such a principle, there is such a halacha in theory, what's called the raw dam machas tashmish, which is a disaster in halacha. If it happens three times, then the couple is asura, they're assumed the olivot, they have to get divorced, they can never be together. If you have a real, full-fledged raw dam machas tashmish, again, Mishlamaisa, this just doesn't really happen. So come the poskim in Shulchan Aruch and quick to point out that roa dam machas tashmish, a woman's mamish bleeding b'shas tashmish, that means literally machas tashmish. That means we can identify that there's tashmish and then there was bleeding right away. But if she has tashmish at 10 o'clock at night and then she bleeds the next morning, that's not roa dam machas tashmish. So where do you draw the line? How do you know whether this halacha of roa dam machas tashmish applies in the first place? How do you know whether this problem three times is even an issue? Again, it's not very common that we're not going to ask a woman the olam vod based on this, because we always have machas b'smanas and everything becomes mutter anyway. But when does this theoretical halacha apply? So the poskim are very clear in Shulchan Aruch that it only applies if the dam is found immediately after tashmish, if it's identifiable, if there's a correlation between the tashmish and the finding of the dam. Then and only then does this halacha apply. So what's the correlation? What's the time? So all of a sudden, all those shiurim from Chaptas and Oshem, Toloi, and everything come back to life. So there, the poskim, the Beis Yosef, and the Ramah, everyone starts to learn Kachim all of a sudden. Everyone starts to become experts in Chaptas and Oshem, Toloi, and basically the poskim develop the following yisod. Whatever's the shiur for that halacha, whenever you bring a korban, whenever there's some kind of a correlation between the tashmish and the dam, that's the same correlation here as well. That's the yisod in Simen Kuf Pei Zayin. But now comes the Ramah and quotes a Ravid that says as follows. Says the Ravid, we don't know what any of the shiurim are. Go time it. Time in a stopwatch. How long it takes a woman to do a bedika, to find the bedika cloth under the pillow and pull it out and go around to the bathroom, do a bedika. They take a few seconds, a few minutes. I don't know how long it takes. So the Ravid says, therefore, Bizman Hazeh, we have a low plug. Bizman Hazeh, we don't take any chances. Any time a woman finds dam samuch latashmish, that's the lashon of the Ravid, so we assume automatically that's called dam machas tashmish. Samuch latashmish is a problem. So come to poskim over here and say the same thing. If a woman finds a kesem samuch latashmish, if it's close to tashmish, so that's already a problem. So again, let's put things back into perspective. We had a machlekes at poskim. If a woman finds a kesem related to tashmish, is that a regular kesem? All the kulas apply. Or do we have to be machmir that no, this is much more chomer, this is much more serious, this is a rishon of a deraisa. Is there such a chashash? So we said many poskim said yes. But that chashash only makes sense if there's a correlation between tashmish and the finding of the kesem. What creates the correlation? So according with the Ravid just translated for us, samuch latashmish, that's the shir, that's the nushir. We just made up a nushir. Those words, samuch latashmish, don't appear in the Gemara. The Ravid made it up, there are more paskins like that, so that's what we're stuck with. So now, let's reevaluate the shaila. A woman, a couple has tashmish, so 5 minutes later, she realizes she has a small kesem. She finds a small kesem, less than a gris. Or 5 minutes later, she finds a kesem on a colored sheet. 5 minutes later, she finds a kesem on a dovashen makabel tuma. She comes to the rabbi and she says, okay, what's the story with this kesem? So the rav looks at it and he says, what's the big deal? It's less than a gris. It's en makabel tuma. It's mutter. So the rav asks her one question. When did you find this kesem? So she says, I found this kesem right after having tashmish. So the rav asks her, how long after having tashmish? She says, 5 minutes after having tashmish. So now what? What's the din? Halacha l'maisa. Shad happens all the time. What's the din? Is that called a plain, simple kesem? Or is that a kesem that's a tashbish-oriented kesem, which is more chomer? So is that called samach l'tashbish or not? What's the cutoff point of the Ravid? The Ravid made up a new shir called samach l'tashbish. What's called samach l'tashbish? So the Acharonim are in the dark about this because no one knows what the Ravid meant. So you have strange discussions. And some Pelskim, what does the term samach mean? So believe it or not, some Pelskim said, samach, we know what samach means. Anyone look at Maseches Pesachim? Samach must be in a half hour. So Samach running around a half hour after Tashbish, that's the Shia of Samach. Okay? There's no correlation living or dead between those two halachas. So just trying to figure out what the Ravid meant. So other Acharonim say, no, it doesn't mean that much. It means like the Shia of how long you're allowed to be mafsik between until Shadayim and Hamotzi. Techav until Shadayim, brother. The amount of time it takes to walk 22 Amos, 15 seconds. Another Shia, 15 seconds. There's no correlation living or dead between the Tilsi Yadayim and Samach L'Tashbish. So everyone's groping in the dark, trying to figure out, where is the Shia? What's the number? Where did it come from? So that's quite a discrepancy, 15 seconds or 30 minutes. That's quite a big difference. So how should we be knowing L'mais? L'mais, 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 how should we be knowing on this? So it would appear that one could be pretty makel on this. One has a right to be pretty, pretty lenient about this, about the shilas, for a variety of reasons. First of all, we're not sure that this whole din applies in the first place. A woman finds a kesem, even if it's found mamish right after tashbish, a half a second after tashbish, we're not convinced that that kesem is any more chomer than any other kesem. The Chumash Hadeshin told us that, but don't forget the Maamar Rutenberg disagreed. So this whole din is standing on one leg in the first place. We're not even sure the whole din exists. Number two, even if it exists, it's only true if the dam is found mamash immediately after tashmish. Now, Medina de Gemara, how long is called samach l'tashmish? So remember the shiurim. How long does it take a woman to stick a hand under the pillow to do a bedika? Between you and me, how long does that take? It doesn't take a half hour. I mean, it's got to be very, very uncoordinated to take a half hour. How long does it take? Probably a lot closer to 15 seconds than to a half hour. So you want to be machmir a little bit, okay, 30 seconds, a minute. I mean, it's hard to imagine it's too much more than that. So comes about the Ashulchan and says that it would appear to him that there's another ground to be made. You could be mitzai for third kula based on the following. When we started the sugya, we said, what was the whole fear in the first place? That the act of tashmish is masking the hargasha. So it says the Baal HaShulchan, just a nitty-gritty discussion in halacha, but it's obvious that the only part of tashmish that would mask a potential hargasha is only tashmish b'shas kisha eivor, only when the couple is literally involved in the act of tashmish itself. Once the eivor dies down, so then there's no pressure anymore. There's no masked hargasha anymore. So it says the Baal HaShulchan, just do the math. From the time the couple finishes the kisha eivor part of tashmish until she gets up out of bed and goes, finds the kesem, it's going to be more than 15 seconds. It's going to be more than a minute. It's going to be more than 2 minutes. It's going to be a while. So says the Baal HaShulchan, to have a case where it's mamish ot that you're defining dam, literally, b'shas tashmish, is almost not shaykh, almost not practical, unless you go with the half-hour chumras. If you're in the half-hour league, so then the half-hour is a long time. But if you're not into the half-hour chumra, you're into the more in the 15-second range, l'mais is not going to happen. So therefore, l'fiyaniyaz da'it is what I tell people, is that any kesem that's found soon after tashmish, I tell them it's subject to regular ksamim. You don't have to go run for chumras. It's subject to regular ksamim. What does that mean practically? If it's found on a colored sheet, it's mutter. Colored towel, it's mutter. If it's less than a gris, it's mutter. All the regular, plain old, simple dinim of vilchus ksamim apply even to ksamim that are found immediately following tashmish. Because immediately bizman hazeh is very unlikely that it's immediate in the full sense of the word. However, as an important however, this is all true if the kesem is not found on the man himself. If the blood is found on the man, on the aver of the man, that's a much more serious problem, because then there's no shiloh. Then we know exactly where it came from, we know exactly when it came. So that's already a much more serious shiloh. So dam that's found on the aver of the man is the most serious scenario of a kesem, and one would have to be machmer in that. One would have to treat that. That's much like dam found on a bdika cloth. And even the smallest amount of dam that's found on the man, unless the man has a bakha or something, or unless the woman has a bakha, then we have to go back to the doctors and figure out, is there any other source of the blood? But if the blood is not attributed to anything else, it's clearly from tashmish, it's just that we're just ignoring it because it's a kesem. If it's found on the aver of the man, that's going to be a problem. So again, as a precaution, anytime dam is found, anytime close to tashmish, even if it's not technically usur, it's very kedai to speak to a Rav about it, speak to the doctor about it, find out what's going on, because that could potentially spell trouble in the future. But in terms of tachlis lamaisa, if the dam is found shortly after Tashrish, we have a right to be makel. The same way that we're a little bit more noita, we're noita lahakel on the dam that's found shortly after Tashmish, lechor, the same should be true when a woman finds dam shortly after urinating as well. Because again, it was basically the same sugya, that if the dam is found immediately after she goes to the bathroom, so that's a little bit more of a chashash, that maybe hilchus k'samim doesn't apply, maybe all the kulas don't apply. If you remember, we spoke about be'arichas a few weeks ago. One of the big coolers in Uchus Ksamim is a kesem that's found on toilet paper. Toilet paper, we said, is Einem Bekabel Tuma, so technically Ksamim doesn't apply to it. So if a woman finds a kesem on toilet paper in the middle of nowhere, she went to the bathroom 20 minutes ago, and all of a sudden she just walks in, happens to just put a piece of toilet paper there, that's a regular kesem. That's usually not what happens. Usually she finds it on the toilet paper because she just went to the bathroom. So how soon after they're going to the bathroom is considered to be too close for comfort? So the old story. If you hold a half hour, you're in trouble. Even if you hold 15 seconds, you could be in trouble. So Rav Moshe is pretty makel about this. Rav Moshe writes that most of the time, when a woman is wiping herself after she goes to the bathroom, it's not 2 seconds later, it's a couple of seconds until she finishes going to the bathroom, until she reaches over to clean herself. It takes a couple of seconds. So putting out of the ordinary circumstances aside, we can usually assume that a kesem that's found on the toilet paper is usually going to be mutter. We don't have to throw this chumrah of a kesem that's found immediately b'shas going to the bathroom. So yesh mokom l'hokel on dam that's found on toilet paper as well. So again, when all the dust settles, and this whole sugya, what are we left with? That in theory there is such a halacha that a kesem that's found in the connection of tashmish is more chomer. And in theory there's a halacha, a kesem that's found in the context of miraglaim is more chomer. Both of those halachas are theoretically true, at least according to the Trumas Hadeshin. But practically speaking, does it mean therefore we're going to aser every woman right and left because of that? So it's highly unlikely. And the reason being is that usually enough time has elapsed between that action itself and the finding of the kesem, that the halacha doesn't force us to make that connection between the two. We have a right to be a little bit more make.
Wait a second. After she goes to the bathroom, the toilet paper, you just said it's within a couple of seconds. So why would
right, so it's still enough time, because the real shear is probably even less than 15 seconds. The real shear is probably close to like 2 seconds. So by the time she wipes herself, it's usually after that time anyway. So one can be a little bit more mekel. Again, this is betzirup. This is combining the fact that the whole chumrah is, we're not convinced the whole din is true in the first place. So the whole thing is a shaky chumrah to start with. So I'm chup to combine two shaky chumras. So yesh makom lahakel. I'm just saying the misera that I have. There are other rabbanim will not mekel. So if you want chumras, I can tell you where to go for the chumras. There are people who ask this right and left. But I think one can be a little bit more mekel in the show. So up until now, we've been discussing Hilchas Nida, we've been talking about Nida D'Araisa, we've been talking about Nida D'Rabbanan. There's been one common theme, that there's blood. It means there's obviously blood. If there's no blood, what are we talking about? Obviously a woman cannot become Asura without blood. So we're about to change that premise right now. So, or maybe we're going to change that premise. Does the Halacha ever entertain the possibility that the woman becomes a Nida? Sounds a little bit strange. She becomes a Nida without having any blood. What do you mean without any blood? It means we didn't see any blood. There was no hagosha. I mean, I shouldn't say that was no hagosha. There was no riyas dam hagosha. There was no kesem. There's nothing we can pinpoint. We don't see any red. We don't see anything that's dam. Is there ever a situation where the halacha forces us to be chayshesh that maybe there was dam? Maybe there was bleeding. We just missed it. She didn't see it. So we have yet to encounter that. Up until now, every single scenario of a woman becoming a nida presupposes that there is some physical blood there with hagosha, without hagosha. There is it. There abundant. There's something. Does the halacha ever entertain the possibility that a woman becomes a nida? Dilma rasa. Maybe she saw dam and we just missed the dam. So this was a major discussion in the poskim. It started also with the Trumas Hadeshin. Trumas Hadeshin develops an unbelievable yisay. Trumas Hadeshin tells us, we know that hargosha plays a critical role in terms of uchas nida. Again, let's go back to the old days when we knew what hargosha was. We thought we knew what hargosha was. Hargosha plays a critical role in uchas nida. Hargosha is a condition for a woman becoming a nida. That was the ABCs of uchas nida. Dam behargosha is diraisa. Dam shelo behargosha is onamid dirabana. That was day one's shir, first week's shir. Comes into Mr. Deshin and says, not only is hargosha critical in terms of being a condition for a woman to become a nida, But Hargasha does something else as well. Hargasha tells us that there probably was dam, even though we didn't see any. Even though she didn't find anything. Says the Tumas Hadesh, and if a woman experiences Hargasha, and now she looks, there's nothing there. She doesn't see, there's no dam, nothing. There's no kesem, there's no re'iyah, there's nothing. Says the Tumas Hadesh, Hargasha tells us, Dilma Rasa Falava Daita, that maybe she saw the dam, maybe there was halachically dam there. She missed it, she wasn't careful, got lost in the shuffle, got lost in the process. But just the existence of a Hargasha in and of itself is problematic. The existence of a Hargasha creates a chashash that there was dam there. Now that's something brand new. We have never heard of such a thing. We spoke for 3 weeks about Hargasha being a condition for a woman becoming a Nida. We have yet to see that the Hargasha alone creates Ilchus Nidus. But guess what? The Tumas Hadeshin says it. And guess what? The Shulchan Aruch Paskins like it. So we have to see what in the world are the parameters of this? What does this mean for us? This opens up for us potentially very, very serious Chumras and Ilchus Nida. So let's try to analyze where in the world this Tumas Hadeshin got it from. And practically speaking, what does it mean Tachlis in the year 2009. So what in the world caused the Tumas Hadeshin to say such a Mechudesh thing? You look in the Gemara, up and down, you don't find it. So says the Tumas Hadeshin, there is a Gemara. It's the same Gemara that we were talking about before. The Gemara discusses a situation where a couple had Tashmish. They thought that what they were doing was okay. They didn't realize that she was going to become a Nida in a second. They were having Tashmish. And then all of a sudden, a minute later, or 2 seconds later, or 15 seconds later, whatever the shear is, all of a sudden, she realizes that she's bleeding. And she sees, Gavalt, there's dam there. So now we have a Shaila. We don't care if there's dam now. We want to know, was the dam before? Was the dam v'shas Tashmish enough? That's the question that we're concerned with. So the Gemara gave all kind of shiurim. If the dam is found right away, then you can assume yeah. If the dam is found later, then you assume not. If the dam is found somewhere in the middle, then it's a suffix. All kind of different shiurim. A Mishnah and a Gemara, very, very complicated sugi that we referred to before. Comes the Gemara in that discussion and has the following line. One half a line in the Gemara. The Gemara says that if the woman, Bishas Tashmish, felt something, she felt some kind of Hargasha, she felt some kind of a dam, then it's over. Then there's nothing to discuss. So even if she doesn't actually see the dam until a couple of seconds later, if she felt the dam leaving her body, again, put ourselves back in the old style thought where she's actually having these kinds of agoshas, if her gisha, bishas tashmish, that she's actually bleeding, then the Gemara says that all bets are off, then they're for sure chayev korban chatos. B'med devar mamurim, that we're not convinced that she's chayev, we don't know when the bleeding was, that's if we have no indication. So she finds dam a minute later, we're not sure. Was that dam there? Was it dam not there? Chatas, osham, potter, etc. But if Bishas Maisa, she was margish, a yitzias dam, then there's nothing to discuss. Then it's a moot discussion. So comes the Tumas Hadeshin and says, what do you see from here? You see that Hargasha is a proof that there's dam. Hargasha could serve as a hochacha. Hargasha is a raya that there's dam. Not only is Hargasha a condition to make the woman into a nida min haTorah, but Hargasha itself proves that she was a nida. So the fact we're going to bring a korban chatas, that's a din d'oraisa, we're going to bring a korban chatas, and what forces us to bring a korban chatas? The only thing that convinces us to bring a korban chatas is the Hargasha. So as you see from here, says the Tumas Hadeshin, that Hargasha is a proof positive min haTorah that there was a re'iyas dam. Ad kan devir Tumas Hadeshin. So comes the Radvaz, comes the Ramah, and says, wait a second. I said, that's not a good raya. Why is that not a good raya? In that case, in the end, there was dam. But Maisa, we know this dam. A minute later, she finds the dam. So Hargasha tells us that the dam that we find a half hour later, or half a minute later, or 20 seconds later, oh, you found dam later, and you had Hargasha b'shas tashmish, so let's do the higher math. Mistama, there's a correlation between the two. Mistama, the dam that was found later, probably was around b'shas tashmish, and therefore you have to bring a korban chatas. That's not what the Tumas Hadeshin is talking about. Tumas Hadeshin is talking about a woman who has a Hargasha, then she looks for blood 20 minutes later and doesn't find anything. So where in the world do you see from the Gemara that Hargasha proves, proof positive, belishim suffik, that there was Riyas Dam? All Hargasha proves is, if you have Riyas Dam later, we can declare that Riyas Dam must have been present b'shas Hargasha. Where in the world do you see anything about what the Tumas Hadeshin says? That's the taina that the Radvaz has against the Tumas Hadeshin. That's the taina that the Ramah has against the Tumas Hadeshin. However, the problem is, even though the Ramah, in the Sefer Darkei Moshe, quotes this Kasha, and he says, L'chor, the Tumas Hadeshin's raya is not a raya. It's one small problem. In Shulchan Aruch, where the Ramah paskins, the Shaila is Lamaisa. Today was a lot of Lomdus to Shia. But now Lamaisa, the Ramah doesn't quote this. The Ramah doesn't quote the Kasha. He just quotes the Trumas Hadeshin. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Trumas Hadeshin stands with all the Kashas and all the Pilpulim of the Raya. So all the Acharon Pilpuls, a good Raya, not a good Raya. At the end of the day, it stands La Halacha. So the Trumas Hadeshin is correct, La Halacha. So bottom line, in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like this Trumas Hadeshin, that if a woman has a Hargosha, so that's it. She's Asura. Finished. A woman has a Hargosha, whether she has dam, doesn't have dam, she's a Asura, because we assume that she most probably had a Re'iya and she just missed the Re'iya. So, Adkan Divrei Shulchan Aruch Baramah Lahalacha. Now the question becomes, what does this do for us? So now, in the year 2009, so where do we go from this Psak?
Does it make any difference to the timing, where she's in her cycle?
Oh, okay, we're going to get to that. We'll get to that as we go on. We're going to get to that. So, what do we do with this? How does this play out, Lamaisa? So now we go back to the first Shia. We started with Chaznida. We said, we spoke about a lot of lumdus of Hargosha. We gave three different Shitas in the Rishonim, what Hargosha is. But at the end of the day, we couldn't pinpoint any of these Hargoshas. We weren't sure what any of this was. So let's just go back for a moment to that first Shia. So if a woman has the Rambam's Hargosha, that she's shaking and trembling and having chills, whatever she's having, if she has that kind of Hargosha, then we apply the Psak and the Trumas Hadeshin and the Mechaber and the Ramah. If a woman has Nizdaza Gufa, so she's Asura, finished. But that's the bad news. The good news is nobody has it. So nobody ever had it. I mean, women get chills from a lot of things, but the Nizdaza Gufa that's associated with the Rambam Zargosha doesn't exist, Mizman Hazem. But so far, we're okay. We made it through one Hargosha. Now we move to the second Hargosha. The second Hargosha was Niftach Piyam Mokbar, the Trumas Hadeshin's Hargosha. So if a woman comes to us and says, Rabbi, I felt my uterus opening up, but I didn't find any dam. So what would we say? You're a surah. It's not going to happen, because the woman doesn't feel a uterus opening up. Nobody feels Niftach Piyam Mokbar. We're doing good. So far, we're two for two. Now we get into trouble. Now we come to the third Hargosha. Remember the third Hargosha? Zivas Dovalach. A woman comes and tells us, I felt a little bit of a liquid, a little moisture, a little something, but I looked up some, and I didn't really see anything. Nothing's there. Rabbi, what do I do? So, So now it depends. Do we paskin Zivas Dovalach is a Hargosha? Do we paskin Zivas Dovalach is not a Hargosha? If you machmir that Zivas Dovalach is a Hargosha, and you put that together with the Trumas Hadeshin's Chumra, any Hargosha means, spells trouble, even if there's no Dam, an unbelievable Chumra. The Chumra of the century, of the millennium. A woman comes to us and says, I felt a little bit of moisture. I felt a little bit of that. You're Asura. We don't want to talk anymore. You're Asura. She says, Rabbi, I didn't find you. You're Asura. Finished. If the Trumas Hadeshin is right, that Zivas Dovalach is a Hargosha. And if the other half of the Trumas Hadeshin is right, that every Hargosha is a Raya Brura, that the woman had her Iyazdam, so you put two and two together, you're left with an unbelievable Chumra. A woman comes and says, in the middle of the month, she says, I felt a little moisture. Sorry. That's it. You have to go wait 5 and 7. In Lohinachta Basla Avmavino Tachas Bailas, the Gemara says, that's going to be an unbelievable Chumra. So, Baruch Hashem, the good news is that we probably don't paskin this way for a variety of reasons. So, number one, we're far from convinced that Zivas Dovalach is a Hargosha. Remember, we had very, very serious reservations with that when we spoke about that in the first couple of Shiurim. Number two, comes the Chasam Sofer and says that even according to the Machmirim, that Zivas Dovalach is a Hargosha, Lav Davka, it's a proof positive that there was Riyaz Dam. Means the Trumas Hadeshin said that every Hargosha equals an absolute certainty that there was Dam. Not every Hargosha, some Hargoshas. The real heavy-duty Hargosha is the Hargosha of Nizda Zagufa, the Hargosha of Niftach Piyamokar. If a woman comes and says, I felt my uterus opening, then we're concerned. A woman comes and says, I felt a little bit of moisture, it could have been from half a dozen other things. So therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, we don't have to connect the dots. We don't have to come up with this Chumra and say, every moisture, every liquid, every anything she feels in that place automatically asks Alabayla. You don't have to do that, says the Chasam Sofer. So Baruch Hashem, that's the good news. The good news is that Me'ikir Adin, it's a lot of lumdus with the Tumas Hadeshin, with Mechabras and Ramahs, but Tachlas Lamaisa, we probably do not have to follow this Chumra. That if a woman says she felt a little moisture, so we can ignore it. If there's no Dam, there's no Kesem, there's no nothing, we don't have to translate that to mean all of a sudden she's Asura. That's the good news. That comes the bad news. The bad news is going to be good news at the end also. We're going to have to wait till next week's good news. We'll leave you with the bad news. The bad news is The chumra news is as follows. That the poskim write that even though this is true, everything we said up till now hopefully is true, that me'ikra, hopefully me'ikra did is true, that if a woman has a little bit of a zivas davalach, me'ikra din she's muteres, even though that is true, we're nervous to implement that bismanazah. We're nervous to just pask and just ignore the Chumash Hadeshin outright, just to cut out a line out of Shulchan Aruch. We're nervous to do that. So what do? So came a group of poskim and said, what we do is as follows. We tell a woman who has a zivas davalach, a woman experiences these kinds of feelings of moisture, wetness, or something, we tell her, you know what you should do? Don't ignore it. Don't totally ignore it. On the other hand, you don't have to say you're a surah right away. Do the next best thing. Go do bedika. Go check and see. Why should we live our lives in doubt? Go check. Every time you feel one of these kinds of quasi-hargoshas, don't just ignore it and laugh it away and say it's nothing, because the Chumash Hadeshin and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah screaming at us. On the other hand, we're not going to paskin the real din of the Chumash Hadeshin that you're mamash asura, so we tell you a pshara. That's the lashon that has been existing in the poskim for the last couple hundred years. Do a bedika. So now, we just created a new halach in a sense. Anytime a woman experiences these kinds of zivas, the lachs, and these kinds of feelings and sensations, translation equals, go do a bedika. That's the bad news. Because, I'll tell you what, the bad news is that ein l'dover sof, that women who want to follow this chumrah will spend most of their life doing bedikas. Means that women have these feelings all the time. Ma'isim b'chol yom. Women have these kinds of sensations, these kinds of feelings, everything. It's mucus, it's denim, it's that. There's no correlation cues out with hilchos nida necessarily. And if you're going to tell a woman that she has to bedika every single time she has one of these things, it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous chumrah.
Can't you
create a chazak? Oh, you must be a descendant of the Chayyadim. The Chayyadim try to solve the problem with the famous chazak. So next week we'll continue with this. So again, so just try to keep in context the progression of what happened here. Before we started the sugya, we didn't think there was any problem. So she had our gosha. Big deal. So what? Not gosha. Very nice. There was no dam. So the Chumash Hadeshin showed you from a Gemara that her gosha itself was a problem. We weren't convinced that Raya was a good Raya, but okay, we defer to the Chumash Hadeshin and the Mechaber and the Ramah. We're willing to say that it's a problem. So then we said, if it's a problem, so let's identify what Hargosha is. So Baruch Hashem, we failed in identifying a good Hargosha. So the Halacha doesn't really apply Bizman Hazeh. But the Poskim brought the Halacha back to life. They came up with a new formulated of the Chumash Hadeshin. When you have these quasi Hargoshas, do Bedika. So now we're stuck at this point. So does that really mean it? Every single time you have a quasi Hargosha, Zivas, something, anything, in the middle of nowhere, a woman's in the middle of work, she feels up some mashu, she's got to go run to the bath and do a hagash, to do a bedika. So hopefully we'll see by next week why some poskim say that. We'll try to see why we don't say that. So hopefully next week we'll keep up with that.